Hi, this is Cameron.
And I'm Jorge Luis.
And today, what is the difference between empower and empowerment with Robbie Watson?
Let's hear his insight and thoughts about this topic, and let's start now.
Hopecast. Learning about the life and mission of education equals hope.
Welcome to the Education Equals Hope Hopecast. I'm Cameron Graham Vivanco.
And I'm Jorge Luis Rodriguez.
I'm the co-founder of Equals H and the director of the program here in Ecuador.
And I am the coordinator of teams and training for Equals H in Ecuador as well.
Education Equals Hope exists to provide for the education of students in desperate and difficult situations.
And our main goal for this podcast is to keep all of our dear listeners, supporters, and friends all over the world informed as to what is happening with our ministry here in Ecuador.
All 40 of you.
All 40 of us.
Because we could not do it without you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. One day it'll be more than 40. Si Dios quiere.
Right.
It, all that it matters is that is actually pretty great and pretty exciting that we have 40 people that have subscribed, because that's like half our Ecuador donor population.
Right.
That's pretty good.
It's very, yeah. What is really exciting and interesting is that many people that come down in teams either start to listen in the podcast after they come or they hear it before.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Because we have a lot of resources.
Yes.
In our four seasons.
Four seasons already.
Four seasons of the Hopecast, including our partnership orientation, our
poverty orientation.
Poverty, talking about privilege.
Impact stories from different people that we work with or that we have seen growing within the ministry. And experience of the teams and team leaders when they come down here, which is really important too.
Because it's all about what is happening while we're here. But today's episode is continuing on that vein of community development, because that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who are listening who have come down on a team know that we spend some time making sure that everyone understands the difference between relief work and development work, and how there is a time and a place for both, and that we are solidly in the development work side. And so what better person to have as our special guest today than Professor of Community Development, Robbie Watson.
Woohoo! Thank you, thank you.
Is that actually your title?
Technically, as my role as Professor of Community Development, that would be my title, I assume.
I mean, you do have masters. You've got the letters behind your name.
Yes.
I just heard from your wife that you found a PhD program that you would love to enjoy. And then we really could call we really call you Dr. Watson.
That's true. That's my whole life goal.
Whole life goal.
To be a doctor.
But a PhD, not a medical. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No thanks.
But you've got some knowledge in this field of community development, and you get to teach it at the university level.
This is true, and I love it. I'm not angry about it. It's great.
Yeah. Here for positivity.
Yes.
So today, Robbie, how about you reintroduce yourself to our listeners? You were on the Hopecast two seasons ago, I think it is now.
Yes, in the second one.
Season two. You can go back and you can Google search Robbie Watson, but it's not the Robbie Watson that's connected to dairy farming in Ecuador.
Other podcast about a dairy farmer in Ecuador named Robbie Watson. Yes, that's...
So not that
not
one.
You.
Not that one. Not me. No. Yes. So I am Robbie Watson. I've been in Ecuador now 3.5 years. And the last time I was on the podcast, I was working at El Refugio. I've now transitioned into a role with Youth World Generally, the branch of One Collective Ministries here in Ecuador. I am the coordinator of community development training, I believe is my title.
Mm-hmm.
But I do a lot of teaching, trainings with interns and teams that come down, a lot of study so that I can share information. Then I get to visit a bunch of ministry sites all over the country and hang out with cool people doing cool things. So that is, and part of that is teaching with the study abroad program, Living and Learning here.
Hear, hear. Living and Learning International. We can also do a little plug for them. If you have a study abroad in your future, in the future of someone you love, a university student, look them up. Living and Learning International. In fact, we have Seth lurking in the shadows right now. He's watching his professor of community development. And you
and
are
his brother.
And because you are his host brother. He's living in your home right now because they all have Ecuadorian homestays. Mm-hmm. So all these things are true. Go to livingandlearninginternational.com and then figure out or org or something. Just Google it.
Good advice.
Anyway, okay. Mm-hmm. So, Robbie, today talking about a community development theme, empower and empowerment. Talk to us.
Well, yeah. So I believe, if memory serves, that on the last time I was here, we did talk about a bit about identity, who we are, what we bring to the table, and this fancy word called positionality. And it's something that I include in my classes fairly early on, generally when I teach community development stuff, because it's locating us in the larger picture of the context in which we're operating, where we come from, who we are, what ideas and assumptions we bring with us, and all of that for the community which we are entering. Because we have to have this analysis of the power that we have. Whether we think we have a lot of power or not, there's probably some kind of ability and willingness and know-how to do something, which is some loose definition of power here. And it's in especially in Western contexts where Western people are coming into other countries, there is a sense of we can do it. Let's put something together and make it happen. And there's a very like task-oriented focus on the work that community development often looks like. We're asserting a sense of power in a situation to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
But contrast this with the idea of empowerment. Empowerment as a process whereby people are able to understand who they are, their positionality, their abilities and gifts and talents, and act on those. And we say in community development world that people are able to make real change with that, to make choices that have real impact on their communities and on their surroundings. Mm-hmm. So the caution here, and as I understand, you've talked about empowerment on the show before, as something that maybe is not so popular these days, as a term that's losing traction. I think because it is misunderstood and misused.
I'll just jump in with that, please. Like that slipping traction.
Mm-hmm.
We were having a conversation at the director's level, and the director of the End Slavery Ministries was talking about pushback she was getting working with women who are in prostitution, pushback she was getting that you're not empowering them. They already have power, where the concept mm-hmm. of empowering is I'm taking my power and I'm giving it to you, and now you can do something with it. Where I'm understanding, which I can get, that is 100% accurate, that those women already have identity, source, resource. Sometimes it's a good identity, sometimes it's as mm-hmm. a faulty identity. But they have in their wheelhouse some mm. sort of power to move something forward.
Absolutely.
And someone coming from the outside is not necessarily giving them power, but sometimes revealing to them their mm-hmm. power. Is that a fair way to say that?
Yeah. I would use the word facilitate, mm-hmm. like helping to facilitate them understanding themselves in a deeper, mm-hmm. more holistic way. There's plenty of examples of empowerment used poorly as a term, and something that we saw all the time when we were living in Rwanda would be businesses that were started, you know, getting women who are experiencing poverty together to start a sewing cooperative, say, or making baskets or some handicraft. And the Mzungus, the Western folks, would often take those products and, you know, some would be sold locally, but they would take them back to their home countries and sell them there. And around those things, there was a lot of talk about empowerment. We're empowering these women to do something. And realistically, it didn't feel like there was a lot of actual empowerment because their situation changed in the sense that they had a better job. But it seemed more like the women were being fit into some system designed by someone else and run by someone else. Mm-hmm. So the sense that they were actually empowered to live their own lives, to live into their own identity, is quite debatable in that case. Mm. And this is where it gets a little fuzzy or questionable, where, well, what is empowerment then? Like, you know, who's moving things forward? What are they empowered to do? Mm-hmm. So we talk about empowerment as a change in social relations, as in there is a power change that happens, that people see themselves differently, but are also in that same realization that it's kind of like a demanding, sounds aggressive, but a demand that other people see them in that light as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I am worthy of love and respect and all these things. And I understand that about myself, and I expect that other people mm-hmm. treat me with that same realization.
We talked about that in a poverty of self, like
exactly,
and like healing that poverty of self, mm-hmm. or having God's healing brought in that I'm enough, and I'm good, and you should treat me that way.
Yeah.
Robbie.
Yeah. Sorry, Cameron.
And something that I love about what we all do within Youth World is that we kind of like stop and look at the person for what they are, understanding their background as well. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I always try to mention here. There's two things that I always try to mention. First, the idea of how important for us in Equals Age the relationship is. Not just the programs that we have, but the relationship that we can create. Mm-hmm. But the other side is that when we bring teams, for example, we don't want to impose our ideas to the ministry side.
Right.
We want to be able to hear the local church, the local community, addressing their own needs and addressing a way of solving those problems. Mm-hmm. We are, and I would say all of Youth World, we are kind of like just blessed by the opportunity of being on their side, trying to help them to not just recognize who they are, but also to be able to research themselves.
Yeah.
From what they need. Because I feel sometimes because of the different things that we live in the world, we forget of who we are, about who we are. Mm-hmm. And we can forget also that power that can relate within us. And process like the ones that we do with them are mainly thought in order to push them mm-hmm. to, you know, kind of like away from that crisis and away from that suffering in order to recognize themselves as how God sees us, that is completely capable of doing things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget about it, but something that I like about Youth World is the fact of how we see the person and their background mm-hmm. and try to research that person with their own context, not taking them out of context and not pushing them or not, you know, like, again, not imposing our ideas mm-hmm. to them, but trying to just recognize who they are.
Right, and helping them realize mm-hmm. that, helping them find their own voice and their place and how they operate and what works, really. Reading a book currently by the author Bell Hooks, who's pulling from theories and teaching by the great Paulo Freire, the brilliant Brazilian educator. But they talk about this difference between being a subject or being an object. And I think in the West, we have a sense of our own individualness, that we are all subjects. And, you know, the movie's all about me. Mm-hmm. I know because the camera follows me when I leave. It's not about you guys, right?
Mm-hmm. You, Robbie, it's all you.
Right, yeah, absolutely. No. But, like, we see ourselves as a subject who is able to act and make change in the world around them. And we see other people often as objects. So especially when we go cross-culturally and we see people who are poor or have disabilities or whatever the case is, it in our mindsets, we understand the subject-object difference. And often in the systems that we create around helping people, it maintains that. Like, you are the poor object who is being acted upon by the subject, which is me. I'm more important.
As opposed to with,
where you're treating everyone like a subject, mm-hmm. and the people who have been treated like objects, perhaps all their lives, are realizing that they are actually subjects in themselves. And not to bring this to a hyper-individualistic side of things, what we have in the West, and which becomes a spiritual problem, but to say, like, that they are realizing that, again, they're worthy of love and respect and care. Mm-hmm. And they also have this agency and the ability to impact the world around them in some way. It may not be to change the local government, but it might be to help the person next to them. So there's always agency. There's always the ability to act and to see yourself as a subject acting in the world, not just being acted upon.
So going back to your basket story.
Yes.
Exhibit A in the basket story, like, these women that were living in poverty trained to make baskets, but these baskets are being sold in other countries. So they were kind of fit into that system, mm-hmm. and not necessarily empowered through that system. My question would go back to, but because they now have a stable income or are able to provide for their families in ways that they couldn't because of that stable income, mm-hmm. Is there like an offshoot of that where like part of their dignity and their self-worth, they'd be able to see that through that? Is that a two-for-one-er or am I missing?
No, I think that's the hope of those kinds of programs.
Right?
I don't want to disparage them entirely.
just partially.
No, but because like a way of like maintaining a family with food, you know, that's a necessary thing. Of course.
I hear that kids like to eat every day.
Something about that. As humans generally.
Your daughter likes to eat bananas every day. I just want to tell you that.
Yes, I know.
At my house.
After she's at one of my house. Yes. So I do believe that in those kinds of programs, which I think get stuck at a place of, well, we're empowering the women, but they're not doing anything with it. Well, you know, like, well, what's actually changing? What's mm-hmm. what's the power that's changing? What are the social relationships that are changing? But I think that the idea would be, yes, like you give someone, I mean, like with E equals H, like if they have a little extra money, what does that free them up to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to worry about school stuff. Well, we can focus on this thing. We can act on this agency that's innate in all of us. So I think that that's the idea with those kinds of programs. Mm-hmm. Like you get women who now have a way to support their families, and often there are other trainings or something. So all that to say, great if those programs can help women move beyond just making baskets for Western markets.
And it's more than a cog in the system.
Yes.
It's an actual life change in mm-hmm. each individual as a subject.
Yes. So I see those kinds of programs as a like a doorway into deeper empowerment or deeper community development or community impact. A lot of people say in a lot of books, like Toxic Charity or When Helping Hurts, like essentially just give people jobs and everything will be okay. And I'm not quite sure. I agree. Unless that job leads to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like just flipping burgers at Wendy's probably isn't going to transform someone's life, but it could. Like it could pave ways, but the idea is that if you're creating holistic systems around, support
you
systems
mean they
around
need
these
community
people.
Community around them?
Something like that.
Like they need
it's almost as if community development was a key part of the whole concept. Community aspect, yeah.
Would you say relationships are a key part of community?
Yes.
You didn't ask me, but I will say so.
Yeah.
I love relationship.
I've heard that somewhere before.
There's a good friend of ours who we worked with very closely when we were in Rwanda, and he said, development has to start in friendship.
Hmm.
And I don't think you have to be best buds in all cases, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. There's got to be real connection. There has to be real trust for things to really progress.
I just see that in my life here, having mm-hmm. gotten to be very good friends with all of the starting equals H sites, right? Mm-hmm. We're growing to a point that I don't carry that relationship with every site anymore. I don't have that deep friendship. But I do have a deep friendship with Pastor Fabian and Carmen Bajo and Reverend Lourdes at Cristo and Bishop Juan Carlos, who was at Buen Pastor, is now with the diocese. And just today, I've been able to talk to all three of them. And with a 30-second conversation, we can move things forward in ways that, and this isn't like tooting my horn, this is tooting the relationship horn. Like mm-hmm. because of relationship and because of trust, I can send a text message and get a reply, and a program's going to move forward because of that. Mm-hmm. But it's based on years and years and years of trust and relationship, almost right. like that's really important.
Yeah, it kind of is. This is reminding me of a relationship I have with one of our partner ministries a few hours outside of the city. And I've brought teams, brought interns, visited a bunch, and over the years built a strong relationship with the leader, Anna. And she said a little while ago that they have never, in that ministry, they've never felt more supported or encouraged than in the years that I've been there. Mm. And, I mean, that's tears up a little bit. but very encouraging for me to hear. But it doesn't come from a list of all the programs that I started and all the projects that I ran through and completed. You know, it's not about doing all those things, but about walking with people mm-hmm. and building those actual relationships. So mm-hmm. if my job was to support a ministry, I feel like that I kind
feels
of did
like
that.
Success.
Yeah.
There are about 100 million more topics in community development.
True.
But we're going to bring this part of the conversation of power and empowerment to close and see what the next topic is that we get to bring up as we continue to delve into this and try to be better and better at community development. Robbie, thanks so much for being willing to come and share thoughts and teachings with us.
Thank you for having me.
We look forward to next time. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, no, not bye yet. Just kidding. If you want to be a part of Education Equals Hope or support one of the communities that we do our very best to have that deep empowerment of and that sense of identity and life transformation and change, please go to educationequalshope.org. Find the Give Hope button. Feel free to navigate through to the Ecuador page from the Where We Work page and make that donation come here to Ecuador. But really, anywhere around the world is going to benefit from that incredible way. So thank you so much. And now I'm going to say goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to our Hopecast. If you want to join the mission or know more about it, please visit our webpage, www.educationequalshope.org, or check our YouTube channel and Instagram with the same name.